who would you say is the most underrated band that you talk about in this book?
Oh, that's, I love that question. Well, my favorite band, well, the not my favorite, but one of the most surprising bands I thought was Outrage from Trois-Rivières. Mm-hmm. It sounded like Motorhead and early Metallica, and I thought they really had something good going on. And then they switched to something more, I think it was more prog-ish, like, and this is like the Voivod influence, like when Voivod switched to more prog-ish things, sounds, well, a lot of bands also switched, like DBC, they were hardcore in the beginning, and then when you, they get the, on their second album, they're like all sci-fi and prog-ish and stuff like that, really influenced by Voivod. So Outrage were really good. Treblinka were awesome. I love their stuff. Yeah, I believe these are my my real coup de cœur.
Well, obviously, I hear that this is supposed to be one of three volumes of this.
Yeah.
So I take it from what you're saying and how busy you are that volumes two and three are probably not coming out anytime soon. But do you have any kind of thought as to when they might be in the pipelines?
Yes. Well, actually, I'm not writing the second volume because I don't know nothing about death metal, and it would take me years and years of listening to be able to write about it in a way that would make sense. But Ian Campbell and his partner, Louise Girard, she was writing a fanzine in the late 90s and early 2000s. They are already working on that book, actually.
Yeah, oh, nice.
Oh yeah, they have a first version basically done. So it was due out in late 2020, and it was pushed back a little. So I know that Louise and me are in touch, and Ian and me, of course, also. I know that Louise is more into this project right now because Ian had to work on the English version of the first volume. Mm-hmm. But I believe Louise is doing a really fine job right now. But yes, it did take quite a few years before, exactly like the first volume, you know, before anyone can wrap their head around how to do that, how to interview so many people, how to get so many archives and put all that together, digitize demos or CDs and digitize all those archives and stuff like that. You could be researching, doing your research for years and years and years. And at a certain point, I did not know where to stop. I was still adding new information to the book as it was going to the presses. And when it finally came out, I had still new information coming in. I was just like, oh my, I'm really sorry. And up until yesterday, I still had bands writing me, telling me, oh, you didn't mention that, but this is interesting. You should say that and that. And I'm like, man, geez, I wish I had all that stuff. And one of the worst things is that I'm in my small region where I'm from, here in northwestern Quebec, there were two really crazy crossover bands that were active in the late 80s, and I wish I could have put those bands in there. They were called, oh my God, one of them is called Invulnerable Terrorists.
love it. So good.
And I wish I could have put that in the book, but you know, I was not able to do it. But there will always be like these obscure bands popping out of here and there, so yeah, it's never over.
Are you thinking of if this, I mean, since you have more info somewhere down the line, are you thinking of maybe doing like an additional, like adding extra things in and doing like a second print of it with the new info in it?
Man, it's such a mess, actually.
Andrew, why are you even asking me this? No.
You're putting me on the spot here. Well, there already are... well, basically three versions of the book out. Like the very first print, I think it was 500 copies. And then a second print, which was in which we added a couple informations and in which some informations were corrected. So there are little differences between the first press and the second press. Hmm. And then you also have the English version, which also has a few corrections. But those corrections were made from the first press. So what was added in the second press is not in the English version.
All right.
So, yeah, it's that kind of mess that we are dealing with here. So am I going to do that someday? Man, I wish I could. But someone's out there, please pay me to do it, and I will do it.
Everyone out there listening, get this man some more money so he can make this.
I need a check just to keep, just to stay home for a week and get this right.
CJLO 1690 AM. This is Champions of the Local Scene. I'm Andrew, normally on Grade A Explosives from 4 to 6 on Sundays. And what you've been hearing throughout the entire hour, basically, has been an interview I did with author Félix B. Defossé, who is, wrote a book about the beginnings of metal in Quebec. Also, as you may have heard, a book about hip hop in Montreal. So, you know, he's written about a bunch of stuff. If you liked listening to this, you want to check out more, feel free to check him out on, the Book of Faces, all that good stuff. So I'm going to play the last part of this interview, and then after that, I'll play some Doughboys, and you will find out why I'm doing that during the last part of the interview. So I guess you have to stay tuned and listen to it. Ha ha. We call grab. Get the hooks into you. So if you like this, you want to hear some more loud things, feel free to check out Grade A Explosives, Sundays, 4 to 6. And let's just get into the last part of the interview here. This has been Champions of the Local Scene, CJLO, 1690 AM.
You obviously, you've talked about how you kind of grew up in the punk movement. Yep. How are you getting music now? Are you streaming it, Spotifying it? Is that how you're finding new stuff?
I'm a record collector, first of all. So I'm staying. I buy record collections basically, and I sell records a lot. I have to buy collections if I want to find the real rare stuff that I need to find. So I'm into records a lot. I'm a total geek. I love cassettes. Actually, I had to talk about cassettes today on national radio because the inventor of the cassette died. Yeah. So I had to tell the whole country about how cassettes are still a thing.
Hey everyone, cassettes are still here, and they're everywhere.
It's still happening, and I love tapes. But I'm also on Spotify, and right these days, today I was deep into Japanese jazz of the 70s. I was listening to Giles Peterson of the BBC. He sometimes does live streams of some of his DJ sets, and he always goes into like very deep scenes like that. So this is really my thing. I like to go deep into a scene and really try to get to know everything that there is to know in that scene. So and when I jumped into that Japanese jazz scene today, I was just like, oh my God, this is going to cost me so much buying records. This is going to be expensive. I'm a total geek, basically.
I get it. I understand. I have so many CDs now, and I need to digitize them.
It's a whole lot of work.
At least, though, it's not records, though, not vinyls.
Well, we prefer buying new CDs or new records and actually digitizing them. That's a problem. Digitizing was fun.
Yes,
we'd do it.
Well, you've written all these books. You have one about metal, one about hip hop, one about punk. That's gonna someday come out, I imagine.
Don't pressure me.
but what do you have kind of like directly next? Do you have anything that you're working on now aside from your stuff?
Volume 2 of my hip-hop book about hip-hop, because the idea was to try to gather people from the community. Once again, I'm not out of the hip-hop community, and I absolutely wanted these people who lived it to tell their own story. And I thought I really had to put out the first volume in order to get people involved in the second volume. So I'm working on that. But there was this very big reaction to the first volume of the hip-hop book, and we have a video, the video version, like documentary version that we are working on right now. So that's not going to come out anytime soon, but it's going to be a very big project. And besides that, I'm, you know, on my Facebook page, people can follow me, and I always post stuff about music history. So as I mentioned, next week I'm going to work on the Doughboys from Montreal, because in 1996, so 25 years ago this year, they put out their last album, which was called Turn Me On, and it was supposed to be a big commercial break for them, but actually it just broke up the band. And I'm going to speak with John Kastner actually either tomorrow or this weekend to get that story, because I believe they were the Canadian Nirvana in some way, because they toured with Nirvana, although they weren't exactly grunge. They toured with them, and they had this really cool thing in the 90s. I believe John Kastner is a really, really, he's a genius songwriter, I believe. So anyways, I'm always working on stuff like that, and sometimes really more obscure stuff. Like last week I was, actually it was this week. Yeah. March 8th for International Women's Rights Day. I told the story of the very first recording that was made in my region. And I found, the original records and the original woman who sang on those records and photos of her live and stuff like that in 1950. So I can be working on anything at any time.
I wish I had this type of drive. It would be very, very helpful to me. Well, thank you, good sir, for taking the time to chat with me.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.